The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, May 12th, 2025.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do. Because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Boy, was it beautiful coming over on the freeway today, seeing all those beautiful clouds. I mean, what a mysterious universe we live in. I mean, it's just amazing to me. Happy belated Mother's Day. Mother's Day was yesterday. We all celebrated it together. I was very blessed to be with my family. We had a wonderful brunch. We had what kind of tradition we get into some of our traditions. We had lox and bagels and all kinds of goodies and just lots of great conversation. And, you know, just watching the great-grandchildren grow and the grandchildren having new babies and just being surrounded by such love. I was just amazed. Well, today is May the 12th, the day after Mother's Day, the actual date of Mother's Day that we're on the air. And what we do every single year is we have our Mother's Day program. And today I'm very, very excited because I have a very special guest with me, Dr. Andrea Hall, a PhD, a wonderful, wonderful woman, and she's going to do the Mother's Day show with me. We have lots of wonderful things planned. And, you know, I want to just say something really quickly. Every year in May, peace activists circulate Julia Ward Howe's Mother's Day Peace Proclamation, and we're actually going to hear it. For 30 years, Americans celebrated Mother's Day for Peace on June 2nd. And then later on, when it was declared Mother's Day, it became the second Monday of the month of May. But Julia Ward Howe was the one who wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which was, you know, "My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord," which was a strong go-to-war song, you know. And then all of a sudden, the war ends. It was the Civil War that we were having. And when it ended, all of a sudden, a coalition of women decided to go to the battlefield. And all of a sudden, they saw baskets full of men, because women were not allowed on the battlefield. I mean, now women can go and can fight in war. And I don't know if I agree with that or not, to be honest with you. I think we're the ones that bring forward life. I don't think we should be involved in killing in any way, shape, or form. But when these women, it was a coalition of women, when they went to the battlefield to help, all of a sudden they found these baskets of arms and legs and young men suffering. And all of a sudden it was too much for them. And Julia Ward Howe wrote the Mother's Day Proclamation, which we are going to listen to. And that's what this show is actually built around, the fact that these women were calling for peace. So the goal of this show is to acknowledge the original intent of Mother's Day and honor mothers past and present. The goal is to also give women a history lesson about the original intent of Mother's Day, which was to speak out against ending all wars. And it's so interesting when I was listening to the new Pope, and that's what he said. The first thing he said out of his mouth was, "We have to end all wars." I mean, to me, that was an amazing statement. Well, Julia Ward Howe worked to establish Mother's Day, Mother's Peace Day. Howe dedicated the celebration to the eradication of war and organized festivities in Boston for years and years. She also wrote the Mother's Day Proclamation, like I said, we're going to listen to. In her proclamation, Ward states, "Our sons," listen to this, just listen to this, "our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our son to be trained to injure their sons." Think of that. That our sons will not be trained to to harm their sons, to, in other words, to kill their sons, which I think is a very, 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 as you notice, I'm putting several varies here, very important to acknowledge. I mean, just think of it. That's all war is one mother's son killing another mother's son. It's that simple. Well, I'm very excited because joining me in the studio this morning is one of my favorite people. She's looking right at me, and that's Dr. Andrea Hall, PhD. Welcome, Andrea. Welcome to Women's Spaces. You know, Andrea agreed to be a host with me this morning. She's actually going to be a co-host, so we're going to be going back and forth. She's actually going to take over parts of the show, and I'm really very, very excited about that. But before we begin, I would like Andrea to tell us a little bit about herself. And what's so interesting, she wrote a book, and it's called Wake Up. And I love that. Wake Up. And we are certainly woke up this morning. So, Andrea, let's start. You're an author. You're the mother of three beautiful children. You have five grandchildren. You know, talk about what motivated you to do this show with me, and how do you feel about it? And just tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? And tell us a little bit about your book, which I think is fascinating.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for inviting me. It's an honor and a privilege to interview you. You interview so many women and put on so many great shows that for now we get to interview you, and I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity to be the one to do that.
Well, I'm grateful to have you. So tell us a little bit. Tell us about this book you wrote, okay, called Wake Up, which is, I just think it's an amazing thing. It's on Amazon, and I know it's selling very successfully. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how this book evolved.
Okay. I'm a nurse, an author, and a coach. So I'm trained by John Maxwell, and I'm a certified heart math coach, Caritas, and pain reprocessing therapist. So all of the things that I teach are around the mind-body wellness. So I'm considered a wellness coach. The book you're referring to, Wake Up, it's like get up in the morning being happy that you did instead of wishing that you hadn't. And it came out of a dark period in my life where I would wake up and wish that I hadn't. I was not suicidal, but I was just that disappointed in my life. And so the book goes through a framework of first being aware of where you are in life, then acknowledging that it's your life is a series of decisions you've made. So we create our own lives. And so it's like the self-acknowledgement of that. And then going forward to decide, what are you going to do differently? And then finally, wake up. Let's make a plan to live a life that we're happy to live instead of regretting it.
One thing that I'm learning, you know, when you reach a certain age and maybe you want to write your memoirs or something, you start reflecting on the past. And I think the most important thing that we can do as women is that forgive ourselves and recognize that at every venture in our life, we're doing the best we can, given the knowledge we have. And as we get more knowledge, we move through it.
So, I completely agree. And I also have a set of books called Metaphysical Love Stories, and I just published the other one just 2 days ago. So it's a trilogy. And the first one is about a young woman who, her name is Aisha, which means life in Swahili. She loses her identical twin sister and has to learn to live life on her own, because, you know, when you're a twin, and especially an identical twin, your identity is with the other, like my sisters, Brenda and Linda. And Brenda is having to learn to live her life as an individual now that Linda has transitioned. So this young girl is doing it, and it takes her through adulthood, but her sister's not completely gone. She's, she's a spirit. So, you know, nobody's ever really gone, you know, so they still, like, communicate.
You know, my father was an identical twin, so I understand that relationship. In fact, they kissed each other good morning every morning. They went to work in the same place.
Very sweet.
So you had twins in your family.
Oh, yeah.
You had twin
many.
Sisters. Oh, you were a twin?
No, I said many. I have children who are twins. I have boy-girl twins, Isaiah and Naomi. They'll be 22 in September. So that first book is – the second book is also about her, but it continues in her life, career, her husband, her own children. And then the third one is about her mother. And that's – she's having to redefine herself in her life now that she's in her 60s and she's exiting her career, her long-term career as a nurse. So, sometimes we have to reinvent ourselves, and she's learning to do that and to see, like you said, who are we now that I'm not – a mother, you know, and now that I'm not an employee, and now that my relationship with my husband has changed, who am I? So that was a good one to write. It was fun.
That's a huge, huge question.
Yeah.
Who am I? Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm going to be a great grandmother for the third time. And you know, just going through the process with my granddaughter, you know, the fears and the anxiety, the morning sickness and what it takes to be a mother and bring forward the child. And then all of a sudden, one day they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Then who am I? I mean, I'm not running around going to school or going to sports or whatever is happening. Well, you know, this morning what we're doing is we're focusing on Mother's Day, and I really appreciate this. And, you know, as a mother, particularly a mother of color, you have even more issues than, say, myself, you know, some of the things we have to tell our children to make sure that they're safe. And so it's so interesting when you go into the past and you're looking at what Mother's Day and all the evolution of Mother's Day from all of a sudden these women discovering the horrors of war to trying to create a Mother's Peace Day to all of a sudden we're buying candies and flowers and peace is not even mentioned. In fact, I made special Mother's Day cards for my family, and inside it I put in a copy of the latest Mother's Day proclamation, which was put out by Code Pink, and we're gonna reflect on all these. So for starters, I thought what we would do, Andrea, if it's okay with you, is we'll listen to the Mother's Day proclamation, which was written by Julia Ward Howe, which came out of just from her heart when she saw these horrors on the thing, on the battlefield. So let's go ahead and play that first song. The first thing we're going to talk about, or she's going to tell us the Mother's Day proclamation, and then I'll have you comment on it. How's that? So let's go ahead and let's play that, Ken.
Mother's Day Proclamation by Julia Ward Howe. Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts. Whether your baptism be of water or of tears, say firmly, we will not have questions answered by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us, reeking with carnage, for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We, the women of one country, will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the voice of a devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe our dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace. Each bearing after his own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a general congress of women without limit of nationality may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient and the earliest period consistent with its objectives to promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace.
The great and general interest as peace. You know, it's very interesting because all wars are fought in the name of peace, so it's very interesting. So here we are. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and we're doing a special Mother's Day show. We just listened to the Mother's Day Proclamation, which was written in 1858 by Julia Ward Howe after she went to the battlefield and saw it was during the Civil War when they went to the battlefield to help the soldiers, and they discovered all these arms and legs and feet. I mean, she just described it in one of her stories, and that's when she wrote the proclamation, and that's when they developed the Mother's Day for Peace, which actually happened on June 2nd. But here we are, we celebrate Mother's Day in a whole different way, which is the second Sunday of May, and everybody's giving their family. I can't believe how many flowers I have on my kitchen table, which I'm not denying how wonderful it feels. So, Andrea, why don't you comment, you know, what did you hear when you heard her saying that? What really stood out to you?
The qualities that I heard were love, care, peace, peace, and then there's this overall sense of power to be able to state what we want to do and who we want to be in this instance. And I loved when she said, beyond nationality. You know, so many, I think truly our evolution is getting beyond nationality and ethnicity and skin color and class and all that, to just be human and honor humanity. And that's what I heard in that too, that she just wants to be loving and caring and honor humanity. And that's one of the things I mentioned is that I'm a Caritas coach. So I'll mention Dr. Jean Watson later, that she reminds me of my nursing mentor, Dr. Jean Watson, because that's what she stands for. Caritas means love and care. And she just embraces men as well as women in nursing. And now she's extended it in beyond nurses, any caregiver, anybody who cares.
Right, so anybody who cares.
Those are qualities that really stand out for me and that I value.
But also putting the responsibility on women that I'm not going to raise my child to kill another mother's son. I mean, that to me is so powerful.
So powerful.
And, you know, we're not going to be – I don't know if we're going to have time to read this whole poem, but there's. I just want to do just a little bit at the beginning. The poem I wrote was kind of
– One more thing I wanted to say that impressed me was what you said. When you said, we bring forth life, we should have nothing to do with taking away life. That was powerful. That came from you.
Every once in a while I say something smart. I mean, I can't help myself.
That's great.
But no, but it's true.
So
it's true. You know, when you look at these precious beings that are running around, they came from our bodies. You know, we have the secret of the whole universe. We're right in our structure. And it's just an amazing thing. So this is a line that I think is really important when I think about this poem. It was inspired by the president, actually, of the station that I'm recording out of, which is KBBF 89.1 FM, and that's Alicia Sanchez. It was at a May Day rally, and then when Alicia gets up and gives a speech, I mean, she just absorbs you. I mean, she is so powerful and so positive. And all of a sudden, I was listening to her at this day, May Day, and she was talking in Spanish. I don't understand a word in Spanish. And all of a sudden, I start crying. And all of a sudden, I was looking at all these women with their baby carriages. And I thought, oh, my God. And I said, get me a pencil. And I started to write immediately. I actually got a pencil, not a pen. And it said, this is the first line to the poem. I am woman. I am all woman. I go beyond color. I go beyond religion, country, or political party. I am women. I am all women. In my womb, since the beginning of humankind, I have provided a space for the children of the earth to grow and develop. Through my pain, a child is born. Through my body and nurturing, that those born of me have survived. I am woman. I am all women. And I am tired. So, by the way, that poem is on our website, www.womenspaces. So, it's really interesting how this proclamation has taken on. I mean, here I wrote this poem about the I am women, I am all women. We give birth to life. You know, we want to protect life. Life is life. Every form of life is beautiful. I mean, when you look at the planet, it's just beaming with life. So there's another proclamation that came out, and I thought I gave you that one. There it is right there under there, Andre. This is the Code Pink Mother's Day Proclamation, which was written by River Sun. And if you want to hear all about River Sun, if you go on to Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com, and you look at May 12th last year, actually it was May 13th, you can hear all about her and her inspiration, what inspired her to write this. But I'm going to have Andrea go ahead and read that poem, and then we're going to discuss it a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay. Mother's Day Proclamation 2019 by Rivera Sun. Instead of flowers, give us peace. Instead of brunch, end the wars. Let no more mothers raise their children to kill other mothers' children. Give us, instead, the abolition of war, the promotion of peace, and the care of people and planet. To commemorate Mother's Day without demanding these changes rings flat. For every mother appreciating the beauty of the spring, there is another mother screaming under the terror of bombs and bullets. For every mother savoring breakfast in bed, there is another mother hungry and unhoused, stateless and fleeing from war. We, the mothers and the children of mothers, stand united against war, and united for the well-being of people and planet.
Wow.
That is deep. Stand together as women, as mothers. And, you know, even if you're not a mother, if you don't have a physical child, the Creator endowed in your body that potential. You know, that's why, you know, one time women could only become nurses and teachers, the nurturers, the taking care, because they had that capacity. You know, it was a big step when all of a sudden we could become secretaries because we got out of the nurturing ward. So that, I think, is very, very important. You know,
I do too.
One of the things that I'm thinking, Andrea, let's take that. You have a copy of the poem. Let's do the poem together. I think we have enough time for it. There you go. So let's start. I'm going to have Andrea and I are going to read the poem, I Am Women, I Am All Women, that I wrote about maybe 10 years ago and inspired by Alicia Sanchez. A shout out for our dear, dear president, Alicia. Thank you so much for keeping the station open. So let's go ahead. Why don't you start? And then I got it all lined out. So let's go one, two, three. We're reading the poem, I Am Women, I Am All Women. Go ahead. You start.
I am woman. I am all women. And I go beyond color, religion, country, or political party.
I am woman. I am all women. And in my womb, since the beginning of humankind, I have provided a space for the children of the earth to grow and develop.
Through my pain, a child is born.
Through my body and nurturing, those born of me have survived.
I am woman. I am all women.
And I am tired.
I am tired of the polluters who take away from the health of my children, my grandchildren, and all future generations. I am tired of the warmongers who take away my young children, born pure and innocent, and turn them into killers. Killers who kill their own kind and are killed in the name of I do not know what anymore.
I am tired of the greed that creates lack of too many and abundance for too few. I am tired of those who rule, who continually telling me what is right for my body and that they know what is best and make choices for me.
I am tired of the women who sell their souls so they can participate in a man's world, one full of fear and destruction. I am tired of seeing my offspring in countries close and far away, destroying all that is needed to sustain the life of all my children, those innocent children who are born free only to fall into experiences that create hunger, disease created by humankind's greed.
A man plants the seed of life deep within me. The great mystery takes that seed deep into my womb and creates all that has been created. I am tired of the men taking the pleasure in the planting while destroying all that I have created to what it is entitled. I give birth to human beings, not Jews, not Catholics, not Muslims, not Buddhists, not black, not white, not yellow or red. I am tired of those divisions, and I want life to be cherished and valued. I want all life on this, our Mother Earth, to be cherished and valued.
My soul gets weary and tired, and my being becomes angry, thinking about those huge bellies and blank stares of children subject to lack due to greed. Their needs go unnoticed and are deemed unimportant. Who decided there should be have and have nots when we all belong to and have a stake in our home, our Mother Earth? Who decided that there should be have and have nots when all goods, all profits come from our Mother Earth?
I ask all mothers, how can you allow your son or daughter to deprive another mother's sons or daughter of their right as humans, as children of this earth, their right to freedom, food, water, and shelter? How can you allow your child to kill another mother's son or daughter in the nature of what? I ask women, I ask mothers, I ask grandmothers, I ask fathers, tell your children to drop those guns. Tell your children to work for love, peace, and equality. Tell your children who are dropping bombs on other mothers' children to stop and stop now.
Oh, what it must feel like for a mother to hear the planes overhead and watch the silver bullets drop from the sky. oh, what it must feel like for a mother to see her child die because of lack of water, begging for help on the bridges of Louisiana during Hurricane Katrina. Oh, what it must feel like to be a mother listening to her children cry for food or water and none is there. Oh, what it must feel like to be a mother watching her child die because there is no medical treatment or money for that treatment. As women, we must rally together and see there is no them. There is no us. There are only women and children just like us. We are all one in need. I am woman. I am all women. And in my womb, a child is created. By Elaine B. Holtz, 2011. Wow. That is so deep, Elaine. What a great one.
Wow. 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 Woo. We got that done in time. Woo. Thank you, Andrea. Wow, what an exciting experience that was. Was that exciting?
It was. And I'm looking at Alicia Sanchez's name, and I'm thinking Friday night I saw her joy as well. We danced together when we went to see Midnight Sun Massive downtown at Cafe Frida's. So she's not an angry woman. She also knows how to express herself and enjoy life, and I love watching her do it.
Oh, it is just amazing. It
Celebration.
Is just amazing.
Yes.
Well, Andrea, this has been a big jump for me. And also the next step in this interview is also going to be a big step. And, you know, when I wrote that poem, when I think about it, and I think now I'm going to be a great-grandmother for the third time, it's amazing to me. It's amazing. And that's why I'm so adamant, so strong about women standing together. Well, now we're going to go into the next segment. You know, we're going to do an interview together, you know, and also I just want to make a comment. You know, I'm a great grandmother now, and that really puts me on a whole level of responsibility. So I think motherhood is a sacred obligation. Women, we are the ones who give birth and have full responsibility for the care and nurturing of that life. In my mind, it is a lifetime commitment, and we must continue to stand up for the rights of children, for the rights of all women. You know, the way we started is, I am women, I am all women. I go beyond color, I go beyond religion, it's woman giving birth. And also when I think about what's going on, which is not in this poem because it wasn't happening at that time, but I need to add a few more lines of what's happening with women and children in the Ukraine, what's happening with women and children in both Palestine and Israel. Everybody's suffering there. Everybody. The bombs just polluting the air alone. Not only that, but killing everybody. It's really, really very, very difficult. Well, we're celebrating Mother's Day, and we're going to take a musical break right now, and I'm going to play a wonderful song. It's called For the Mothers, For the Women, and it talks about some of the struggles that women are going on across the globe. And when we come back, I'm going to turn the show over to Dr. Andrea Hall, you know, PhD. I'm so proud when women come in and they have that doctorate and they have that PhD after their name, because it showed that we can do it. We can achieve, no matter, they're trying to stop us, but they're not going to. They're not doing a very good job. So let's go ahead and play that song for the mothers. And then when we come back, we will be continuing with Women's Spaces. And I'm going to be turning the show over to Dr. Andrea Hall. So when you hear a voice come on and she's going to interview me and ask a few questions, I got a few emails. People say, you know, Elaine, you interview all these people, but we don't know much about you. So we're going to find out quite a bit about me when we come back. So let's go ahead, Ken, and play that song.
I sing for the mothers all over the earth, for their power, for their love. I ache for the mothers all over the earth, for their sorrow, for their love. May their broken hearts be cradled, may their righteous anger be heard. I pray for justice and healing for all of the mothers all over the earth. I sing
for the murders of soldiers at war, for their power, for their love. I ache for the murders of soldiers at war, for their sorrow, for their love.
May their broken hearts be cradled, may their righteous anger be heard. I pray for justice and healing for all of the mothers all over the earth.
I sing for the mothers who grieve for a child, for their
yes, to the mothers of all the world. You know, when I think about the Ukraine, when I think of Palestine, I mean, I don't know if folks realize, but, you know, in Palestine, it's so sad. And what's so sad that they're in the hospitals, there are hundreds and hundreds of children that are starving to death. Can you imagine, watching, sitting in a hospital with your child, or sitting on a bridge in New Orleans, and all of a sudden you can't get water, and there that baby dies right in your arms. I mean, this is cruelty to me, and it just makes me cry. And when I listen to that song, it just touches my heart in a way that I can't even express right now. Well, for you guys just joining us, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces.
Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Andrea Hall. This is a special Mother's Day show, and I am conducting an interview with our host, Elaine B. Holtz. Elaine, let us know a bit about your background. Where were you born? Your family, education, your community, your work. Tell us about you.
Well, I was actually born in East L.A. some 85 years ago in 1940, March 18th, 1940. I can't believe it that I'm 85 years old. It blows me away. I was born into a very Orthodox Jewish family, which I really don't have much to say about that anymore. And, you know, I'm very, very disheartened about what's happening in Israel and what's happening in Palestine, particularly about what they're doing with the women and the children, which is really problematic for me. I went to, elementary school, went to Hollenbeck Junior High School in East L.A., then Roosevelt High School also in East L.A., and then moved to West L.A. and graduated Fairfax High School, which was, and no matter what, you know, when I was going to Hollenbeck Junior High Schools, I found the Hispanic community, and it was an amazing experience for me. It's amazing that I record live out of KBBF, which is our first community radio bilingual station. And it's really interesting that my roots brought me to this station when my roots really have part of the Hispanic community. They used to call me the white one, the hueda, you know. and I used to love to go into the neighborhood and be with the mothers and the cooking and all that stuff. And then moving to West L.A. was very devastating for me because I felt like I was out of my element. And then when I was 18 years old, I went to New York, met my first husband, and had my beautiful daughter, Susan. And up to when I was 30 years old, I think my life was just one big challenge and one big joke. And I was so ignorant. I mean, I was so conservative back then that it really blows me away. But I went back to school when I was 30 years old during the height of the Vietnam War, and I became an activist. I was a journalism major. After, by the way, Andrea, after I failed the English test. I had to take dumbbell English, and I had a teacher by the name of Mr. Linville at Los Angeles City College. He says, Elaine, you don't know anything about sentence structure. You don't know anything about punctuation. He says, but boy, can you write. He says, become a journalism major.
I love it.
And I did. I became a journalism major. And I was very, very proud of myself that I got an AA degree. And one side story, people think I'm very outspoken and, you know, I have a very articulate with my language. Well, when I was back in at L.A. City College, in order for us to graduate, we had to take public speaking. Mm-hmm. And I was nobody that was going to be a public speaker. I mean, I had a stigmatism in my eye. I was cross-eyed, so I was always very shy about getting out in front. And then all of a sudden, here I am in order to graduate in this public speaking class. And the teacher, for some reason, took a liking to me, put me on the forensic team. You know, so now I'm a debater.
Wow.
I'm going, wait a minute, a debater? And then he has us do a list of all the things we're for and all the things we're against. And every time the debate came in, you had to write. If you were for something, he made you take the opposite approach. So that really taught me. So up until I went back to school, if there's any women out there who say, oh, I'm too old, forget it. That's a bunch of BS. I went back to school when I was 30, and at 37 degrees, got a master's degree. So that's wow. Part of it. And I do have one daughter, my beautiful daughter, Susan, who has been my deepest, deepest motivation. And I don't know what else to say about the past.
Look at you now. Well, I noticed you long before we were introduced. I'd see you at the Community Baptist Church, the Martin Luther King Festivals, Juneteenth, Black Chamber of Commerce events, and other cultural and ethnic festivities. So what draws you to these type of events? I noticed even you said when you were in East L.A., you were enmeshed in the Hispanic community. What draws you to be people of color like that?
Well, I think what happened is when I moved into my neighborhood, I was in real estate at the time with my friend Hal Alexander, and we ended up buying this house where I live now. I've lived there for over 30 years. And across the street from me was a wonderful woman by the name of Nancy Rogers, who was a woman of color. And one day we just met, you know, I said to myself, we were going to flip the house and I was going to get out of there. And I said, no, I says, I think I'm going to stay in this neighborhood because it's integrated. And so I became very good friends with Nancy. And Nancy really brought me into the Black community with Juneteenth. You know, I can't believe that we gave these big dinners and all these different fundraisers. And we began to talk to each other. We began to talk about the discomfort of color. You know, how we felt about each other, you know. And for some reason, we came together like sisters. And all of a sudden, you know, one day we were walking, she walked across the street, and I said, you know, Nancy, I says, no matter what, when you walk across the street, I'm always going to see this Black woman, and you're always going to see this white woman. But what difference does it make? We're just two women. You know, and we've gone through almost 30 years of comforting each other. I mean, and she's such a spiritual person, and so am I. And so we had these conversations, and we just became like sisters. And through her, I start coming into the community more and more. And then all of a sudden, because I really believe, you know, I mean, this is my belief. I believed I could walk in any world. I believed if you're a king or a queen or a person on the streets begging, I can talk to you, I can love you, I can respect you, I can be part of your world for a few minutes. So I think that really helped, because that idea of being able to walk in any world and to recognize that no matter what, just like Alicia Sanchez and I, you know, she's a mother, I'm a mother, she's a grandmother, I'm a mother, you're a mother, you're a woman of color, you're a mother, I'm a grandmother, you're a grandmother, you know, this is how we have to see one another. And that, I think that is the reason. I think it's those thoughts. And it's taken years to get into the community. And also, being a white woman in the community, you know, you get a little bit of flack back and forth. But then when you know who you are, and you know you're a loving spirit, and you know you're being guided by this poem, let them throw anything they want at you. You know who you are, and just keep conversing. And before you know it, all of a sudden, they're your best friend. So it's very, very interesting. I think I think in my travels of 85 years, if I were to give any message, it would be to find out who you are. That you know, they say, it says in the Bible, we're all created in God's image. What a beautiful thought.
Yep.
That we can be loving great spirits. So I guess I hope that does that kind of
well, that does. I love it. And it leads me right into my next question. I too love Nancy Rogers. She's the president and CEO of our North Bay Black Chamber of Commerce. And just a couple of years ago, she led the mission to honor you at Juneteenth.
Oh.
So you were honored for your contributions to the community at large. And you were so surprised. I remember you were like, me?
Well,
me? And I was like, why are you so surprised with all that you do?
Well,
so why were you so surprised?
Well, first of all, you know, I am a Caucasian woman. You know, walking in a people of color's world, you know, you walk a little softly. You know, I have friends when I started thinking of it. So when all of a sudden they laid this award on me, I thought, wait a minute, how did this happen? Why are you giving it to me? I was completely shocked. But, you know, what was so funny about it, Nancy called, it was at Juneteenth 2 years ago, and Nancy calls me up on the stage. I says, I don't need to be on the stage. Oh, she says, come on. And I saw this little slip of paper with my name on it, and I said, oh, my God, they're going to give me an award. And I wanted to get off the stage because I says, no. But it was quite an honor. In fact, I still have it right in front of me on my fireplace to remind me that all things are possible.
Well, you're certainly deserving of it, and I was very happy to see it happen.
It's still the idea that if you're a loving, giving person, you know, and I'm not saying you're all of a sudden you're going to be this pure person that you're not judging, because we always judge each other. There's no getting away from that. That's the human condition. But I think if you really give people a chance, and you start dialoguing and communicating with them, you really begin to see there's no difference. I mean, I'll tell you a little secret, you know, in my 60s days, you know, when everybody's running around taking LSD, you know, I indulged in that, and I was at a hotel room with my first husband, and all of a sudden I walked past a mirror, and I looked in, and I saw, oh, my God, that's my heart beating, and it was the weirdest vision that you can imagine. And finally I said to myself, why are we different? You know, we all go, I got to tell you a story. This might kind of ruffle people's feathers. But, you know, I just fell. I actually had two surgeries, and I ended up in Memorial Hospital. Well, this one, the first time that I was there, I just come down from the surgery room, and I couldn't even hardly move. They had to lift me and everything. I mean, it was just, I couldn't walk. I couldn't do very many things. And so I had to go to the bathroom. And normally, because you're a woman, they send a woman in, okay? But all of a sudden, here comes my nurse, this tall, dark, and beautiful black man. I'm not even going to tell you his name. And he walks in, and he's my nurse. And I've seen him. This was the second time I've seen him. And he says to me, looks at me, he says, you know, Elaine, I know you got to go to the bathroom. We're short-handed tonight. He says, so I'm going to help you. So I said, okay. So he does his thing, and then all of a sudden I do my thing, and I can't do anything. I can't do anything with my hands. I don't know what it was. It was something I couldn't get back there, if you know what I mean. And I got to describe this man. He was about 6 foot tall, very, very handsome, beautiful, beautiful, not real dark skin, but not real light skin, and designer glasses, these wonderful designer glasses. And here he is wiping my butt. Oh, my God. I'm thinking, oh, my God, how am I going to do? And then finally, when it was all over, I looked up at him and I says, you know, Michael, do you realize I'm an older white woman and you're a young black man with designer glasses on and you just wiped my butt? And he looks at me, he says, yeah, Elaine, I guess there's no division or no barriers when it comes to healing.
True.
I froze in time. Because when we need each other, we have to be there for each other. It means nothing the external means nothing. It's only the kindness and the gentleness and the reality of the present moment. That was such a learning experience for me. And also, while they're talking about the president with this DEI and everything, you know, they're going to discontinue. And I'm in a hospital where I saw people from every ethnicity, every color, every language, you know, and there I am. And what are they doing? They're helping me heal. They're helping me heal. You know, I got to do a shout out for one of my nurses, Mama Rose. I mean, she was just this embracing woman, you know, and who cares what she looks like? I mean, she's loving me and caring for me. So I think that kind of explains the award and the surprise about it, and then also the other life experiences, which because, you know, people might say, well, why are you explaining it? Well, I'm explaining it because I have not always been this way. I had my prejudice, my racism. I lived in a family that the only people of color that came in were the ones who cleaned your house. You know, and what you heard is hide the jewelry, you know, all this stupid stuff, you know. And when you're growing up that way and then all of a sudden you're out in the world, you become frightened of different people, of different colors or different ideas. But once you start engaging, and I think that had a lot to do with me going back to school, you know, finding out Native American cultures. I'll give you another example that of how ignorant I was. They had ethnic studies. That's when I went back to school. That's when they just started ethnic studies. So I decided I'm going to take a Native American class. So I take this Native American class with this teacher. He was from the Chakawa tribe, and he's giving this lecture about when the settlers gave the Native Americans chicken pox in their blankets. I thought, what? I'm listening to this. And finally I blurt out like a fool, I thought the Indians were the bad guys. And here comes this beautiful, another beautiful man from another ethnicity comes walking up to me, this 30-year-old woman, who 31 at the time, who's finally coming back to school. And he says, I was Miss Pine at the time. He says, oh, Miss Pine, where did you learn about that? That you thought the Indians were the bad guys? I said, on television. I mean, I'm a child of the first level of television. And what did they have? Cowboys and Indians. Kemosabe was Tonto. You know, he was protecting the Lone Ranger. But they were not the good guys. They were the bad guys. And suddenly to realize what was going on in the world was an amazing, amazing thing for me.
Wow. Speaking of when you went back to school, in June, it'll be 50 years ago that you were the main speaker at your graduation in Sonoma State in 1975. And in July, you'll be celebrating 52 years since you moved from Los Angeles to Sonoma County. So what was your motivation for moving to Sonoma County in 1973? And how did you get chosen to be the speaker in 1975?
Well, what motivated me to move was my daughter, because she was continually getting bronchitis and that smog was just horrible. You know, and then all of a sudden when I had found myself going back to school at 30 and then suddenly thinking maybe I could get a BA, so I went down to the counseling office and I said, a friend of mine told me about Sonoma, you know. Oh, Sonoma State. I said, yes. He says, well, you know, she told me about it. And she said, but don't apply as a psychology major. I said, why not? She says, because too many people at that time, I mean, you're not going to believe this, but Sonoma State, they actually had a woman in the psychology department who decided to become a banana split. So it was very progressive. They said, no, become a sociology major. So I did, and I had the honor the first day of class. I walked into my sociology one class, and there was Dr. Carl Jensen, and he came. It was his first day. He was the one who started what's the name of that book that Carl Jensen started about the
Project Censored.
Project Censored. He started Project Censored a few years later. And I walked in, and I was the first student that walked, and he had just moved up to Sonoma, and I had just moved up, and we got together. And through his tutelage, you know, I became very active. And then all of a sudden, women's studies. Oh, my God. Andrea, I walked in there. I had no idea that I was an oppressed woman. I had no idea that I was being held back. I mean, I remember one, because I had a cesarean birth, and they're all talking about babies coming out in the stomach and falling in water. And here I had a cesarean. I jumped up and started crying and said, well, what about me? Oh. You know, what about me? It changed a lot. Our bodies, ourselves came out. And one day I go to class, and they have all the blinds closed and everything. And they say, okay, we're going to go. They had these speculums. And that when you go and look at each other, and here we are, a body of women looking at each other. I actually, if you go on Women's Spaces, Carol Downing, I have an interview with her. She was the woman that encouraged women to do this in the classes, to look at each other. And all of a sudden, you know, you're talking about your sexuality, and you go, wow. You know, I just can't believe this. And so I was part of the Women's Studies Department, and then they also allowed us to teach classes. And I taught a class called Survival as a Mother. And I was actually picketed because they wanted men in there. And I says, no, you know, you can take 90 minutes a week and just be with women. And I don't know what happened. But before you know it, I was part of I was voted to be part of on a student council. Dr. Marjorie Downing Wagner decided she was going to have a student council for the students, and I brought up certain speakers, and I don't know how it happened, but Dr. Downing Wagner, Marjorie decided that she was going to have student speakers rather than bring in any big name, so they put it out for a vote. So I was nominated. And I thought, what? I couldn't believe it. I mean, just same thing like with when I got the award with the North Bay at the Juneteenth event. I thought, what am I going to do? I was like all nervous because they were going to vote on me and I'll never win and all that other stuff. And I got the top vote. So I became the main speaker. In fact, I want to tell my listeners that next month, when I do celebrate that 50th birthday and the 52nd birthday of that speech, I'm going to do a whole program around it, and I will have the speech on it. So how I got chosen was I was voted.
That's wonderful.
And what was so interesting, I guess because, like I said, I was born in East L.A., I love the Hispanic, and all of a sudden I become friends with people like Miguel Molina, who was on KPFA, you know, and also Eugene Maharis. These became my buddies. And I brought a speaker and brought it to Mecha. And before you know it, every group in every club in the campus is voting for me.
Wow.
So that's how I got it. And it was quite an experience. And actually, after it was all over, I ran away. I went and hid. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And the blessing I have is there was one photograph taken. And that's a funny story, too, because I said, no, I wanted to dress as a suffrage. And they said, no, you can't dress as a suffrage. Then I had something about Eugenia Debs, who ran for president. He said, as long as there's not one man that's not is in jail, that I'm not free. They said, no, you can't quote him. He's a socialist. And Dr. Marjorie Wagner said, wait a minute, it's free speech. Let her dress as a substance. You know, just do your thing, Elaine. And I did. So that was a big deal. So we're coming down to the end. So do we have any last questions here? How are we doing so far?
I'm fascinated by your responses. I love it, and I thank you so much for allowing me to do this with you. So how did you get involved in radio?
Oh, radio. Well, I went to work for Athena House. Athena House was a program. Actually, I did work at Sonoma County CEDA at one point. I was responsible for helping to administer $13 million in this community. But I worked at Athena House. A guy by the name of Joe came in and said, hey, we got this new bilingual station. They want to have an English-speaking woman to bring forward all the women's music that's happening. And they said, anybody in the room did radio? Well, nobody raised their hand. I raised my hand and said I was a journalism major, and then I announced the sports scores and all that other stuff at LA City College. He says, you have a microphone? And I go, yeah. And then they brought me down. I was on the air for 5 years, then I retired. When I retired off of my career, I went on television and then back to radio. Well, I think that's pretty good. That's pretty good. What's next on our script here?
A couple more questions and then this part.
Okay, let's see, Andrea. Okay, Andrea, you're going to close the show.
Okay.
So what's the last question? I want to thank you for a wonderful interview. You know, I'll tell you, there's lots that I can tell. I'm, you know, published poet, all kinds of different things. I've written for the Gazette. I've written for the Peace Press, and I've just had a long career. I've been in the community for 52 years, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I made it up here.
But with all of the things you've done, what is your goal, your message? What is the legacy you want to leave behind?
Well, the legacy I want to leave is that I helped lift women. I helped them become aware of the importance that they have around raising children and how important it is to look at the real meaning of war and how we do send our sons and daughters to kill other people's sons and daughters. And I hope that through our show and through some of the things we do, that maybe there's a chance that people will start thinking, because we the people, if we don't think in peace, it'll never happen. And I think we're standing up now.
Definitely.
So thank you, Andrea Hall, and I'm going to let you close the show.
Okay.
And I'm just going to watch you and see. I'm just enamored how wonderful you have done with this wonderful script, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing
it. Thank you. Well, that is for the show. Special thanks to you, Elaine, and to you, Ken, for co-producing. A reminder, all the information you heard on the show will be listed on www.womenspaces.com. Also, if you wished anyone a happy birthday, anniversary, birth, etc., email Elaine at elaine@womenspaces.com, and she'll be happy to announce it. Remember, our children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Andrea Hall, and you have been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening.
And who will surely make you stronger? She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now. The woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, May 12th, 2025.